We report on record unemployment in India, and U.S. allies form a company to do business with Iran. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, 2 months till Brexit, and the UK's Society for Motor Manufacturers and Traders says the car industry is on red alert. Investment is down nearly 80% in 3 years, while production slumped last year to its lowest level since 2012. The BBC's Simon Jack reports.
Investment in the car industry comes in uneven lumps as old models are retired and new ones introduced over time. But even allowing for that, the plunge in new investment is stark. In 2015, car manufacturers invested £2.5 billion in the UK. Since then, it's fallen every year, and in 2018 it was just £589 million. Brexit uncertainty was not the only issue facing the sector. Confusion over diesel policy, falling sales in China, and production hold-ups due to new regulations also played a part. But the SMMT was clear that Brexit presented what it calls the most significant threat to the competitiveness of the UK automotive sector in a generation. Manufacturing firms that rely on finely tuned pan-European supply chains have sounded the shrillest warnings about the dangers of a no-deal Brexit. These figures will do nothing to change that.
Simon Jack, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are rallying after the Fed said it will be patient on rate rises. China's manufacturing sector contracted more in January. Fresh data shows after two straight quarters of contraction, Italy's economy tipped into recession at the end of last year. And shares of Deutsche Bank are down more than 3% after reports said it could be forced to merge with rival Commerzbank this year if turnaround efforts don't prove fruitful. Now, India, one of the world's fastest growing economies, votes in a few months. So it's big news that unemployment there is at a 40-year high and that a member of the government's own statistical organization, which compiles that data, resigned because of a delay in its publication. The BBC's Anbarasan Ethirajan has more.
The unemployment rate in India now stands at 6.1%. It's the highest since 1972. It is a record level of unemployment in India.
6% of the population of India is a huge number. What's the human picture?
There are a number of cases where for 100 jobs, you had 500,000 people applying for in railways or in private industries. It is putting huge pressure on the young people because every year, India churns out graduates about 12 million people. So you need to find jobs for these people.
So what does this mean for Modi? He's going to be facing an election soon.
It's not a good news for the government. The Hindu nationalist BJP government came to power in 2014, promising jobs, promising development to boost the Indian economy. There's no doubt the Indian economy has been growing consistently. It is nearly a $3 trillion economy. But that's not enough to create jobs on the ground because the growth has been quite uneven. And that is not good news for Mr. Modi, who promised to create at least 10 million jobs a year. Many people are pointing out some of the decisions taken, economic decisions carried out by this government, by Mr. Modi, was in fact damaging the job sector. In November 2016, the then government announced the abolition of all high-value currency notes, what they call it, demonetization. That had a huge impact. And some even say it reduced India's GDP by a percentage point. And one of the independent think tanks came out with a report early this month, and which talked about 11 million job losses last year alone.
Anbarasan Ethirajan. German media reports say Britain, France and Germany have officially set up a payment channel to do business with Iran and circumvent U.S. sanctions. Instex, as it's called, will be based in Paris and is on an immediate collision course with the U.S. Esfandiar Batmanglitch, founder of Bourse and Bazaar, says this confirms Europe will continue to challenge the U.S. over Iran sanctions.
The fact that now the company is being formally registered with the UK, France and Germany as shareholders and that it will be operating from Paris is pretty remarkable because it means that the full European bureaucracy was able to mobilize in a few months to set up the type of mechanism that they've never set up before.
What does it mean for Iran?
It's a strong political message that Europe remains committed to the nuclear deal, that they're not going to let the US policy dictate the way that Europe's relationship with Iran moves forward. But the biggest question mark for the Iranians will be whether or not this new mechanism actually comes to have an impact on trade between Europe and Iran. The way it's initially been designed is going to focus on trade and food and medicine. That's actually perhaps the most important category of trade that Europe exports to Iran. Iranians will be somewhat disappointed that their oil sales to Europe won't be covered under this mechanism. But at the same time, by starting with this humanitarian focus, Europe is actually able to shield the new company and the other European companies that would seek to use it and work with it from U.S. sanctions, because the U.S. will not be in a position to easily interfere with a company that's working in a humanitarian area.
The international finance system is underpinned by the dollar. Payments are cleared in dollars, and U.S. banks have such big clout. So how is this going to work?
They will try and coordinate payments between exporters and importers, both in Europe and in Iran, so that companies can get paid in Iran from funds already within Iran, and companies in Europe can get paid with funds already within Europe.
So this isn't just an attempt to bypass these sanctions. It's kind of an attempt to bypass the U.S.,
I think that's right. There's never been a moment where Europe has established a state-owned trade entity, specifically because they don't feel that the U.S. is a credible guarantor of free trade anymore. And so the company, we're some ways to knowing whether or not it's going to prove effective. But the simple fact that we've come this far does suggest that there's some new thinking and some real reconsideration in European capitals about how the primacy of the U.S. in global financial markets is actually a strategic risk.
That's Asfandiar Batmanglitch of Bourse and Bazaar here in London. And I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.